Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Accidental Mentor. I'm Charlene Garrett, and you are tuning into our new series, Mentor Minutes, short, insightful episodes where I share lessons and stories from my personal experience and the individuals who have influenced me. Before we dive in, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Your support helps reach more people to benefit from these stories. Today, we're diving in to a question from season one of our series. I spent the entire season talking with my friend Julie, whom I've mentored for over 20 years. If you haven't listened to season one, you might want to go back, specifically episode two. That's where we're going to dig in today. In this part of our conversation, Julie and I talked about how often we met or connected, and how while it wasn't always weekly or even sometimes even monthly, she knew I was always there. During that first 10 years of my mentoring relationship with Julie, especially after I moved to a different city, our communication had significant gaps. Julie mentioned that she would actually distance herself from me. She would hide when she was engaged in activities she thought I wouldn't support. Here, listen to what Julie really said.
That's kind of what I didn't realize I was doing. And so having someone who would consistently show up. Now, you would show up, however, I would definitely ignore you, and I was making life choices that I did not want your opinion on or to have to talk to you about, right? So if you're like, well, I can't lie. Like, I have a really hard time, which is good. We're not supposed to lie. Don't lie. I couldn't even talk to you if I was doing something that I knew wasn't good for me, where I knew, you know, went against God's teachings. And so even if I didn't know necessarily what they all were yet, I knew it was wrong. And so I wouldn't talk to you, but you were always there. So you did, you met like tangible needs. I remember, I think you bought me multiple used tires for my car, at least one, I know, but probably multiple. But it was not always like, you know, every day or every week. And that was actually, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but that was good because I had never done that. It was always very short, over-bonded friendships that just would go away. And that was kind of the cycle that I expected. The thought of me having someone in my life for 20 years, I never would have thought that would be something.
One thing Julie mentioned was that she knew I was always there. And one way that she knew I was always there was I helped her meet some tangible needs, like helping her get a new tire. Well, I mean, a new used tire. Or even I changed her tire one time and showed her how to do it. It was those little things that helped her know I was there. However, since we didn't really go into more detail, one listener asked after that episode, so what did you do when there were big gaps in your communication? What did you do when Julie hid from you? Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I want to answer it from what I did and why, and then what I would recommend, because they're not always the same. You got to remember, I was 27 years old. So what I did, it was back when text messaging wasn't a thing. I don't even think I had a phone that would text, to be honest. I know I didn't have a smartphone. Communication was mainly through voicemails or phone calls, and we didn't have a set meeting time. Like, we didn't meet every week or even every month. It was just not that formalized. One reason that we didn't have like regular meetings was I didn't meet with anybody regularly that time of my life. I worked, I went to church, and I hung out with friends all the time. Boy, those were the days, just hanging out. So we would periodically just hang out. And when I thought about Julie, I would contact her. Sometimes she wouldn't answer the phone and I would leave her a voicemail and maybe she would call me back or maybe she wouldn't. Sometimes I didn't even realize if she didn't call me back because I was consumed with my own life and career. I mean, I didn't know that by not calling Julie back was really beneficial. It just kind of happened. So I want to be honest about that. Some aspect of this was just really happenstance. After a while, though, I did pick up on the pattern of Julie going dark or dropping off the map, as I like to call it, when I wouldn't hear from her for a while. Like, I assumed, okay, she must be doing something that she doesn't want me to know about. So what did I do? I just waited. I mean, don't get me wrong. It wasn't easy for me to wait sometimes. But nonetheless, I just did. Sometimes I would call once, but if she didn't pick up or return a voicemail, I just waited instead of pursuing her more. This is what might be different from some advice that some people would give you. I think that there's no hard and fast rule, like wait 48 hours, then text. And if you don't hear back in 3 hours, call and then, you know, send up a flare or something. Like, there is no protocol. Instead, it takes prayer and discernment and honestly, really knowing who you're talking to and who you are. Honestly, back then, my decision to wait was primarily motivated by fear. Yes, I said it, fear. Fear is not a great long-term motivator, but I was afraid to create a codependent relationship. I had been there before, and I had the t-shirt. I would swoop in, fix, control, and then the person would become dependent on me, and then I'm dependent on them being dependent on me, hence codependency. Whew, I didn't want to do that. You know, I could have told Julie what I thought. I could have told her what I thought she should do, how she should act, how she should live her life. I had lots of opinions. However, I really didn't want to do that, although it was super tempting. I also didn't want to stand in judgment and become just another person telling her she was uniquely flawed. So if I didn't know what was happening, unless she self-disclosed it, I had less of an opportunity to step into a judgmental position. I would also say that somehow I intuitively knew what I have now experienced as a leadership coach. And it's this. You want to listen to this one. This is like a key to everything that I do. People do not change just because you tell them what to do. Even when they tell you they want you to tell them what to do, they only really do what they want to do when they want to do it. The key to mentoring and coaching is asking the powerful, thought-provoking questions that help people determine who they are and what they really want so that they can pursue it in their own timing. That's right, their own timing. The right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. I'm going to say it again. The right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. So the truth is, my timing has never once been accurate for somebody else. So I have had to just turn off my stopwatch. For me, effective mentoring meant loving Julie where she was, and over time, helping her see herself and get to know herself to determine if things she was doing lined up with who she was and who she wanted to be. If she was doing something not aligned with who she was, it was so difficult for me not to say anything when I saw it. However, it was God through Julie that taught me that it wasn't my job to teach her a lesson or show her how she was wrong. Instead, it was to remind her of who she was. I was there to ensure that she knew, I'm there for you. I'm ready to help when you're ready to talk. I was there to remind her that she was a powerful woman able to make good choices, even when she wasn't making good choices. She talks about that in the episode. There's times that I was saying that to her and she knew she wasn't making good choices, but I was speaking it into existence. I was telling her who she was even when she wasn't doing it. And that's the truth. So what I didn't know then that I know now is that I was helping Julie build self-confidence, determination, self-alignment, even self-assessment. All of these mindsets and behaviors are so important, but often very underdeveloped, especially in those of us who have had a lot of trauma in our childhoods or parents who weren't able to model this. You know, I would reach out. I didn't know everything, guys. Like, I would even call my mentor about situations. When I would, like, figure that Julie wasn't doing good, maybe she's had gone dark and I wanted to pursue her, but I wasn't sure what the right thing to do was, I would call and I would ask Kathy. And she would say to me, what do you think you should do? She would ask me questions and help me process until I determined my course of action. I mean, now that I think about it, she modeled not telling me what to do. But she trusted me to make good choices. And she told me I was a powerful woman, able to make good choices. And I did. So in sum, what didn't I do? I didn't chase her. I didn't judge her. And when she did come and talk to me, I didn't correct her. But what did I do? I remained available and open, and I made sure she knew that. I prayed for her, and I reminded her of who she was when she came to talk to me. I didn't shame her. I soon repeated this model over and over with friends and mentees. I mean, I didn't know it was a model, and I didn't know I was repeating it, but I can see that that's what I did. The idea of being the number in their back pocket, this idea that I always want to be the number in someone's back pocket, developed as this idea of an emergency contact. You know, like when you fill out a form and you tell people who to call if you had an emergency and you write down the phone number. I figured if I remain open and available and I reserve judgment, this would allow my friends and mentees to feel they can come to me without fear whenever they felt ready to reconnect or seek advice or need help. I could be their emergency contact, the number in their back pocket. For example, I had an old roommate in Texas. This is like years and years and years ago. But she had moved in with her boyfriend and drastically changed her belief systems. And so she and I were not aligned on several issues. Our worldviews were so different. And before I left Texas and moved to Africa, I remember we had a few conversations, her and her boyfriend, where we all knew we weren't in agreement. And we also, in that same conversation, laughed and joked. We had shared history. And while I was honest with my friend about what I thought, and she was honest with me about what she thought, and he was honest about what he believed, we knew we didn't agree. We also loved each other, and she knew that I didn't judge her, and she didn't feel belittled by me. She knew I cared about her and didn't shut the door to connection. So, you know, while we didn't stay close in contact while I moved to Africa, there was no shut door. It was an open door. So one day, I was in my house in Africa, and I was just thinking about her over and over again. I just kept thinking about her. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to Skype her. So I called her randomly, and to my surprise, I found out she was going through a really tough time. She had just lost her ex-husband, who had been her boyfriend years before, and he had just taken his own life not too long before this call. And I was shocked and saddened. I couldn't believe it. But my call came at a crucial moment. And it wasn't because I was pursuing her relentlessly or anything. It just, she came to mind and I acted on it. It was a healing conversation for both of us. It was one that we were only able to have because the door of communication and connection had remained open. Even though we didn't agree on the same things we used to, that was a moment that was important. It was helpful for both of us. So what should you do when your mentee drops off the map? Be their constant. Be the person they know they can turn to when they're ready. Trust that they'll come back when they need you. Make sure they know you'll be there without judgment. Simply put, make sure they know the door's open. You're there and you're ready when they are. Then pray and wait. Whew, that's the hard part, right? Waiting. If you think of them and the door's open, reach out. But be careful only to pursue if you're really sure that's what God's calling you to do in that moment. And if not, just wait. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Mentor Minutes. I hope it was helpful. If you have any thoughts on this topic, any additions or questions, go to my blog at charlenegarrett.com/blog and you can leave a comment right on this episode. If you have a question, go to charlenegarrett.com/ask. I look forward to hearing from you and continuing our journey together. Thanks for listening. This has been The Accidental Mentor, Mentor Minutes with Charlene Garrett.